This is the Business Guru coming to you live from Seattle, Washington, and I'm your solution to your financial headache. First segment I want to do today, I want to focus on this amendment, and it has to do with financing in the car business. It's called the Brownback Amendment, and you guys, everybody, car dealers, salespeople, whether you're in insurance, whatever kind of business you're in, you must vote in support of this Brownback Amendment. So let me tell you what dealerships do. Dealerships, they, from the revenue they take in, they pay taxes, which in turn pays for schools, it pays for hospitals, it builds roads. So that revenue that dealers take in is not always going into buying more inventory, which it is, but the taxes that they pay from that revenue is, you know, it's building our infrastructure. So let me tell you about this Brownback Amendment. You can find more information about the Brownback Amendment at www.nada.org. The article is going to be right on there when you look about this Brownback Amendment. The vote is going to take place on Monday, May 17th, so you got to vote soon. So call your senator, your local senator, and tell them you want to vote in support of the Brownback Amendment. I'll just read to you a little bit about what this amendment's about. It's a positive development. Auto dealers' intense grassroots efforts in support of the Brownback Amendment have caused the vote on the amendment, scheduled for May 13th, to be postponed to the following week, so thank God for that. With the White House's strong opposition, senators need to hear from dealers and the importance of dealer-assisted financing and how the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection would threaten the convenience and competition in auto lending that currently exists today. Since many senators will be in their home states over the weekend, please make an effort or visit them in the next few days. When contacting your senators, stress the following points. The amendment has bipartisan support. The amendment is pro-consumer because it keeps auto credit affordable. The amendment strengthens customer protections. And basically, you know, if this amendment doesn't pass, a lot of people are going to have a hard time that have bad credit to get approved on the car. And, you know, that's less if dealers aren't able to have that money to finance people to buy a car, there's going to be a lack in taxes that's going to go into the infrastructure. So salespeople, insurance people, real estate people, business owners, you know, people that just listen to my podcast, call your senator, vote in support of the Brownback Amendment. Okay, so the next podcast, or the next segment, in this podcast I want to get into is what makes a sale? What is it that you do as a salesperson, as a business owner, that's going to get you that relationship, that's going to get you that sale out of your customer, out of your potential customer, I mean. And what it's going to be is you got to be there 100%. I mean, you got to show up. You know, when you come to work, when you come to sell, you can't have a half, for lack of a better word, you can't have a half-ass attitude. I mean, you just can't have it. You can't have one foot into selling and one foot out of selling. You gotta be in it 100%. When you show up to work, when you show up to sell, you gotta be there 100%. You gotta be motivated. You gotta be excited, or your people, your customers, are not gonna want to buy from you. So that's stuff you gotta do to get someone to buy. Just some tips to do when you're, what's gonna get you a sell when you're presenting your product or service, is just gonna be taking your time, showing the customer the benefits and features of your product or service. For example, the other day I went into a sports clothing or an apparel store, and I was looking around. I had an idea of what I wanted. I wanted to get either a hoodie or like a track jacket of a soccer team that I'm a fan of. And so I go in there, I'm looking around, and, you know, I get a quick acknowledgement when I walk in the store. I don't that, you know, someone just, you know, coming out like the Walmart greeters, you know, I get acknowledgement They acknowledge I came in. They say hello, or, you know, whatever they say, whatever they're trained to do. And, you know, they see me browsing around the store, and they see me set my eye on one thing. And then, you know, I go and look at it. I ask them, you know, about the product. And they're, like, showing me the product. And, you know, the first product I saw was the sweatshirt jacket, what have you, wasn't in my size. And so I saw another one I liked. And so, you know, the guy gets it down, shows it to me. And I'm like, I see the price tag on it, you know. I'm like, okay, maybe, do I really need this jacket? I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, I have 20 jackets in my closet. Do I need another jacket? And the guy's like, let me show you something about this jacket, Simon. Let me show you what it has. It's got this special feature that in its pocket, it's not a zipper. You unzip the zipper, and you can fold your jacket up, and it turns into a pillow. And he's showing me this, and I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, this is awesome. The guys, you know, the salesman, you know, TJ, he's folding it up, he's putting it in, he zips it up, and it's like a pillow. And I'm like, right there, right when I saw him do that, you know, I said, he unzips it, he puts it on the hanger, he's about to put it back. I'm like, TJ, I'm buying it, man. Bag it up, you know, give me the, let's put it, you know, let's do this, let's buy the thing. And he's like, great, Simon, but did you know you get a free t-shirt with that jacket as well? So what the salesman TJ just did is he built value in the product. You know, when I saw the jacket, I was looking at price alone. You know, I was just looking at price, and I didn't see the value of the product. And TJ comes along, and he's showing me the value of the product. And then the free t-shirt with the purchase of the jacket is called value added. You know, that promotion is actually called value added, and it's called bundling. When you bundle two products together for the price of one, you know, it's like at the store or whatever, you know, buy two, get one free, or buy two for $10 or whatever. That's called bundling. And what that does is it gives you, as a business owner, as a, you know, an employee of a business, it gives you a competitive advantage towards the other businesses you're competing with in your district or in your region. So that's just an example of stuff to do that's going to get you to sale. There's other stuff you can do, just basically, you know, following the sales process to a T. You know, in the sales process, you know, you start with your meet and greet. Pretty simple, straightforward. You know, you say, hi, you know, my name is Simon. What brought you into the store today? Or, hi, my name is Simon. What are you looking to accomplish? You know, just something, you know, quick acknowledgement. You shake their hand, you smile, you know, you just get to know them. You just introduce yourself, and then, you know, you got the meet and greet. You got, you know, you want to sit them down. You do your interview where, you know, you start probing. You ask them questions to build some rapport and find out what they're looking for in buying the product or service, or what they're in the market for. And then after your interview, you take the information from that, you move to the presentation. And all the while, going through the steps, you're going to be building rapport, a relationship, building common ground with the customer. So, you know, you do the presentation, and let's say you're talking to the guy, and the guy's opening up to you. Be like, you know what, back in the day, I had this one car, man, this 1967 Mustang GT Fastback, man, and it was just so awesome, and, you know, it was so fast, and, you know, everywhere I go, people would look at it, and, you know, you'd be like, what you do, be like, you had a 1967 GT Fastback? Be like, I have one right now, and what you're doing is you're building common ground. The guy's like, what, you got a 1967 GT Fastback? That's awesome, dude. And, you know, you start building a relationship. You start building common ground. Just once you get stuff in common with the customer, it's going to be easier for them to trust you, easier for them to like you, easier for them to have that, for them to get, give you that transaction that you want. So in the end, basically, through the sales process, so after the presentation, it's going to be where you sit them down, and you're going to ask them to buy, which is the most important part of the sale. The close is where you spend 10% of your time, but you make 100% of your money. You know, the other processes, they matter. So, and like the meet and greet, the interview, the presentation. More importantly, the meet and greet is important because you want to make that good and first impression. But the interview and the presentation is where you want to spend, you know, you probably want to spend about 75% of your time there. You want to spend 15% of your time in the meet and greet, and you only want to spend about, you only spend about 10% in the close. But in the close, you spend 10% of your time, but you make 100% of your money. So let's say you do this presentation, the guy likes you, you're building common ground, you're building a relationship. You know, let's say you're good at all that, but you suck at the close. You suck at asking the guy to buy. You know, and it's people, salespeople, they get this idea, this false mentality in their head that when they have to, when you close somebody, that you have to have some elaborate words or phrase to say, and you really don't. I mean, it's pretty simple, straightforward, easy stuff. It's not rocket science. All you do is you say, you know, the simple stuff like, hey, what did I do to earn your business today? Or, you know, what did you like, you know, what did you like about the product? What did you dislike about the product or service? You know, like, on this easiest close ever you can use is scale 1 to 10 close. 1 being least likely and 10 being most likely. So be like, so, Jim, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being least likely, 10 being most likely, where are you on buying this car today? You know, Jim says, okay, I'm at a 7. You say, Jim, that's great. That's wonderful. How'd you get to a 7? And Jim's going to say, hey, well, you know, I like the car, I like the features, I like, you know, the way it drives, yada, yada, yada. And so basically you're going to let Jim sell himself and be like, that's, you know, that's great to hear that, Jim. What do I need to do? What needs to happen for us to bring this to a 10 and for you to buy this car today? And so what you're doing is you're letting the customer actually buy or sell himself. Okay, so next part of this segment is going to be stuff that does not get you the sale. Basically, the stuff that doesn't get you the sale is not following, you know, the sales process, not asking them to buy. Not asking them to buy, not closing, is the biggest factor of why salespeople don't make money and why they're unsuccessful in sales. Another reason you don't get the sale is either your attitude sucks, you know, lack of training or experience. Training is a big one, because if you're not trained well, you know, you can't be, I'm not going to blame you if you can't sell if you've never been properly trained before. You know, if you haven't been properly trained on how to sell before and you suck at it, that's not your fault. Your manager should have trained you on how to sell. So, you know, lack of training, that's a reason you don't sell. A lot of reasons for seasoned salespeople or sales greats is what I like to call them, is that they kind of get too confident, too cocky in themselves at times. The place, when you get to the place as a salesperson where you get too confident in what you're doing, where when you get this mentality, this idea built up in your head that you're too good for the customer, you're too good for what you're doing, what's happening there is that you lost that belief and that conviction and the confidence in your product or service. That's the biggest reason people or salespeople aren't selling, is because they've gotten to that place in their career. The thing that you gotta do is you gotta ask yourself, you know, TLC, think like a customer. If you're trying to sell somebody a $200,000 Ferrari, you know what? You don't have the desire to take a loan, take a second mortgage on your house, what have you, to buy a $200,000 Ferrari yourself. You know what I mean? You can't expect your customer to buy a product or service and you're not willing to do that yourself. I mean, does that make sense for you? Does that compute? It's like if you're trying to sell somebody a gym membership and you've never worked out at a gym in your whole life, Do you think that person is going to buy from you? Do you think they're going to see any believability, any conviction, any confidence in the product you're trying to sell or the service you're trying to sell? No way, because you don't use a product, you don't use a service. So that's another big mistake salespeople make, is that they lose, or they have a lack thereof, of confidence, believability, and conviction in their product. That's the biggest reason. So, bottom line, I'm going to close this podcast here in a couple minutes, but bottom line here, in closing, for what to stay away from not selling, to stay away from making the mistakes, is that you gotta believe, you don't have 100% believability in your product and service. You gotta be convicted, you gotta be confident, you gotta show up, you gotta have attitude, you gotta have the right attitude, and you just gotta have a smile on your face. You know, like the scenario from one of my, one of the guys that got a lot of information from Grant Cardone, you know, he did this training segment that where, you know, somebody's coming to buy a car and he's like, the customer says, you know, oh, I'm just looking. And I was like, and Grant's like, this is an example of, that's okay. Most people don't buy the car the first day, you know, and he's trying to do it in a depressed way, and he's like, yeah, you know, you got a gun in your mouth, and you're saying, you know, oh, most people don't buy the car the first day. But I'm like, you know what, he said that basically, you know, you gotta put the freak on the person, the customer. You gotta be like, hey, you know what? Most people don't buy the car the first day. No big deal. You know, you're looking for, you know, I understand it's the first day, you're looking for some information, some knowledge, some facts about the car you're buying. You know what? Most people don't buy the car the first day. You know, most people don't buy the car the first day. You gotta, when you say stuff like that, you gotta smile. You know, you know, most people don't buy the car the first day. You know, it sounds like you're choking on a pistol. I mean, what is that? So basically your attitude, you just gotta, in closing, you gotta have the right attitude, you gotta show up, you gotta be confident, you gotta be motivated, you gotta have believability, and you gotta have conviction in your product. God bless you, have a great week, and go and sell.